We are on. This week's parsha is Parsha Emor, which starts with all the laws of the Kohanim and all the Kedusha of the Kohanim. And can you everyone see my screen here?
Yes.
It starts. Yes. Hashem tells Moshe, tell the Kohanim, and they tell them that they cannot become impure. They cannot be anywhere near a dead body. Only for their immediate relatives, mother, father, children, brother. And continues, lo yikruchu karcho b'rasham, they can't cut a tanch or cut their hair off, strip away the corners of their beards, they can't cut their flesh in mourning, they need to be holy for their God, and they cannot profane the name of God. They offer the karbanot, and they need to remain holy. They cannot marry, let's call it an immoral woman. And they cannot marry a divorcee. Because they need to remain holy. And you should make him holy. Talking about the car. Because he offers the karbanot. He should be holy for you. Because I am the holy one who makes you holy. And most of what I want to talk about now is more about the Haftorah than the Parsha. And the Haftorah is based on discussion by Moshe Lichtenstein, son of Aaron Lichtenstein, who's fifth yard side with this week.
Oh, really?
So you know
that, Aaron?
What?
Was your Aaron's yard site?
So this is Moshe Lichtenstein's son, who's one of the Rosh Yeshivot at the Gush.
What? This week?
But I'm going to start with a discussion by Sholem Carmi, who's at YU. He's the editor of Tradition. And he talked about this week's Parsha. And he looks at it, looks at how the Abarbanel looks at it. He says, following Abarbanel's general deduction, when we focus on the early Parsha of the book, we tend to think of Vayikra as oriented to the priests. That's why he called it Leviticus. It's all laws of the Mishkan, laws of the Karbanot, it's all everything that the Kohanim do. When we get to Kedoshim, last week's Parsha, it seems evident that the center of gravity has shifted decisively to the entire people of Israel. You will all be holy, and all the rules that apply to all Bnei Israel, not just to the Kohanim. The problem then is we have Emor. It seems odd that Emor follows Kedoshim, returning as it were to the special status of the priest. What are we going backwards for? If the order had been the opposite, if we had gone, was the Mishkan, then Emor, the laws of Kohanim, and then laws of Kedusha Bnei Israel, we would say that the Torah began by singling out the priests as holy, and then democratically, as it were, so to speak, bestowed holiness on the entire nation. So Hashem's holy, the Shekhinah's holy, the Mishkan is holy, getting it from them. The Kohanim are holy because they serve in the Mishkan. And Israel are holy because they're associated with the Kohanim. That's not what the order is. And compound this with another difficulty. Chapter 21, what we just quoted, Moses is told to speak to the Kohanim, Emor al Kohanim. One would expect the speech to address the priests in the second person, but instead is reported as indirect discourse. It's in third person, right? His relative, he cannot become impure. They cannot cut their hair or cut in their flesh. When the Torah eventually is the second person, it's the last pasuk, the kidash to, you should make him holy. The addressee is not the priest, but the entire community of Israel. You shall sanctify him. From a grammatical point of view, Moses is not speaking to the priests, but about them. So what is Emor trying to mean? So what he says is that Emor is, the way Emor is works, what it's telling us is that the Kedusha, the Kohanim, is not because they serve in the Mishkan. The Kedusha of the Kohanim is because they are part of Bnei Yisrael. The Shekhinah is holy. Bnei Yisrael are holy because Hashem dwells among them. And the Kohanim get their Kedusha, their holiness from Bnei Yisrael, not the other way around. And that's the way he puts it. Kedoshim to Emor exhibits the sanctity of priests as a facet of the sanctity of Israel. So it begins with the idea that the entire nation is intended to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The original plan is Mamlechet Kohanim Goy Kadosh. We're all Kohanim. The priest is a group that's selected from among the people to perform specific functions in the service of God. His role is only fully defined in the aftermath of the golden calf. Now that crucially redefined the relationship of God and his people. We lost the opportunity to be all Kohanim. We have a subset of that Kohanim, but we still all have the Kedusha, and we give that Kedusha to the Kohanim. And that's what the implication of the order of the parashiyot is. Are. So, that's the introduction. The Haftorah is taken from the end of Sefer Yechezkel. Yechezkel is a Navi who lived through the Korban, destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. He's living in Galut. And his final nevuah is a long, it's probably 10 prakim long, vision of what the future Beit HaMikdash is going to look like. Including how it's going to be built, who's going to serve in it, all the inauguration ceremonies that are going to happen. And our Haftorah talks about the Kohanim in the time of this future Beit HaMikdash. When he's saying this, there is no Beit HaMikdash, he's reassuring the people that they will eventually go back. So that's, and it gives all the same kind of list that we had in the beginning of Emor, of all the laws that pertain to Kohanim, and he gives his version of that. That's source four. Bakonim ha-Levim b'nei Tzadok. And the Kohanim and the Levim were descendants of Tzadok, who was the first Kohen Gadol in the Beit HaMikdash that Shlomo built. There's also this pun about being a tzaddikim. Asher Shemur Mishmeret Mikdashi, who kept the charge of the temple, who didn't betray it like everybody else who worshipped Avodah Zarah. B'tavot B'nei Yisrael Me'alai, when B'nei Yisrael were all doing abominations before me, Hema Yikrivua Elai L'Shartei, they will come back to me. They will come close to me to serve me. And they will stand before me and offer the fats and the bloods, so saith the Lord. They will come to the Mikdash, they will come to the Shulchan, the temple, and they will keep my charge just like they did before. And here's the rules. When they come into the inner courtyard, they will wear pure linen clothing. They will not wear any wool. When they come into the inner courtyard or go into the actual Beit HaMikdash. And it goes on to remain laws. When they go out, they go out to the people. They'll change their clothes. They take off the clothes that they serve in, and they'll leave them in the Lishka and the Beit HaMikdash. And they'll change, they'll wear other clothing, and they will not sanctify the people with their holy clothing. And they will not shave their heads, and they will not let their hair grow long. They will simply trim their hair. Somewhere half between. And they cannot marry a widow or a divorcee. They can marry them. Only an unmarried woman. But they can marry a widow of another Kohen.
That's interesting.
So if you're paying attention to all of these, and you can go through the list over there, he has this list of laws to go on him. Our parsha has a list of laws go on him, but they're different laws. He's changing a whole bunch of things in here. And everyone's very bothered by that. What's Yechezkel talking about? He has this vision of, and we're gonna have a whole bunch of new halachot that do the Kohanim. This is Rav Lichtenstein here in source 5. Nitbonen b'pratei halachot. If we pay attention to the details of these laws, there are a couple of points that are different from the halakha as written down in the Torah. And they awaken questioning, amazement. What are you doing? Yeah. It's always very problematic. I'm sorry?
I said surprise.
Right, yeah. So like, what do you do with it? The Navi comes, we're going to build the Beit HaMikdash, and we're going to change all the halachas. We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to have a different halacha, a different Torah. B'kach, and as such, Heim Starfim, so they are part of, they're joined together with the Pratim Nosafim, Prakim Hasmuchim Lahem. And that's true of all these details, and all these Prakim about this future Beit HaMikdash that Yechezkel has this vision of. There are lots of details that are completely different from the way that the Torah describes it. Kedumak Karbanot Chodesh Nisan, because he has all this list of these Karbanot that you're supposed to bring in Nisan. Shebagashnu b'Haftorah Parsha Chodesh, that if you remember from Parsha Chodesh, that was mentioned in the Haftorah there. Shavhem Shutufim b'Vayatiyut Zo. They have the same problem. What do you do with these new laws, these different laws that Yechezkel is bringing? And the Gemara is aware of this. Gemara talks about this, and this is Gemara in Shabbos, Surah 6. Amar Rav Bram, Zachor Oto Ish L'Tov. Abraham says, we need to remember this one person for good. This is a good, this was a really good guy. He was important. The Hananya ben Chizkiah, Shemo, his name was Hananya ben Chizkiah. Everyone remembers him? We don't, but we should. That's what Abraham says. Shil Malihu, if it wasn't for this Hananya ben Chizkiah, Nignaz Sefer Yechezkel, the entire book of Yechezkel would have been hidden away. It would not have been included in Tanakh. They would have banned it, would have burned it, they would have censored it out. So you devarav sotrim divrei Torah, because there are things in there that contradict the Torah. So the decision about what books belong in Nach is a halachic decision. The Gemara is saying that there was some discussion of not including Yechezkel in there, because this is too controversial to include these things that contradict the Torah. So Hananya ben Chizkiah saved it. So what did Hananya ben Chizkiah do? Elulo gimel meot garvei shemen. They brought him 300 barrels of oil to keep his lights burning. He stayed up all night for nights on end. Yashav b'aliyah, and he stayed in his atelier. Everyone knows what an atelier is?
Studio.
Fancy French word for an artist studio or an attic. Anyway, he stayed up in his attic, B'darshan, and he worked on explaining every single one of these contradictions. And the Chachamim said, "Okay, that makes sense. We'll keep Yechezkel as a non-heretical book." And then Rav Lichtenstein, after quoting this, says, "Litzareinu, unfortunately, Chazal lo pirtu lanu." That after the Gemara says this, they didn't explain what was it. They explained how this Hananya explained it. Mayu Paterno Tav Shel Hananya, what all these explanations were. And we have nothing in our left except for like Ela Nisyonotehem Shel Parshanim. We have all the later Parshanim, all the Rishonim, Achronim, everyone trying to explain it. The Fanech, the Raz, to reveal the secret, and Yiskarla El, that we just mentioned. So lots of hypotheses. How do we understand it? Do you take it literally? Is the halakha really going to change? We want Mashiach when we build the Beit HaMikdash. How do you understand Yechezkel? And we're going to go with the direction of the Malbim, where we're not going to say, this is a nevuah, we're not going to say, necessarily take Yechezkel literally, these are new laws, but they tell us something about the Kohanim, all these new laws. Because the Malbim looks at these new laws, which include the fact that a Kohen cannot marry an almana, a widow, and the laws that they are wearing these garments of pishtan, of pure linen, not the big
also pregnancy. He adds a convert, no? It says, didn't have Israel.
Let me, yes, that's true too. Is that true of a Kohen? That's true of the Kohen in Emor also.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, you can look at that.
It says they're Israel?
Yeah, so...
Kohen Gadol?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't this the Kohen God, like, the Kohen?
Very good. So they immediately picked it up. There you go. I'll give you a credit. Right. Yeah. So we pointed out that if you look at the list of changes, they are changes that applied that as halachot in Emor applied to the Kohen Gadol. For instance, Surah 8, about wearing the pure linen clothing. This is what the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom Kippur. Ketoret bat kodesh yilbash, he's going to wear a tunic of pure linen, which is a bad yilbasaro, and pants of linen, babnet bad yachgar, and a belt of linen, mistepet bad turban of linen. B'gdei Kodesh Hem. That is the description of what the Kohen wears when he goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim on Yom Kippur. It's Kohen Gadol. Similarly, the changing before you go out. That's the Kohen Gadol, source 9. V'arona Omoed, when Aaron comes to Omoed, V'shat B'gdei Abad Asher Lavash, he takes off the linen clothes that he had. V'ha Kodesh, Hinicham Sham, just like Yecheskel said, that the Kohen Gadol has to leave his clothes in the Beit Midash. And similarly, the not marrying an Almanah, that's true, the Kohen Gadol, that's our Parsha, Kohen Gadol Me'achav. That's where we get the expression Kohen Gadol. She had Sakal Shoshem Shem and Mishcha, who's anointed. And it says, as a Gedalit, Amanah Grusha V'chalazanayit El Lo Yikach. Kim B'tulat Me'amav Yikach Yesha. Just like Yechezkel applies to all the Kohanim. The Malbim puts that together. And he's specifically looking at this, the description of the clothing, which is one of these small details. That Yechezkel says they're going to wear these pure linen clothing, wear the belt of pure linen. We understand the halacha is that the belt of the regular kohen, the tunic, the pants were linen, but the belt was made of linen and wool together. And I did pull the official picture from the temple Machon HaMikdash, and here we picture a photograph of Kohanim blowing the shofar and the trumpets with their the Machon HaMikdash is photographs, right? Okay, great. But that's what the Kohanim wore. Not Yecheskel's vision. Yecheskel's vision, they're going to be all in white linen.
How can you tell it's not linen?
Well, I'm giving you the picture here. The halacha is that these belts were made out of linen plus wool.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. The Kohen's Big Day Gadim are made out of Kilayim. It's only on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol wears this pure linen. However, that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur wore just the pure linen. Odio, so the Yechezkel is telling you, Shalatid, in the future, Yit'alua Kohanim B'nei Tzadok, these Kohanim will become elevated. Yot Behem B'Ksat Devarim, Chashivut Shal Kohen Gadol. They will reach the point, they will have some of the holiness of the Kohen Gadol. They can get promoted. They go up a level. Kayu Kimutsuaim ben Madrigata Kohen Gadol ben Madrigata Kohen Hedjot. They're going to be an intermediate, somewhere between regular Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol. Achibikdehem Yushal Butzki Bide Kohen Gadol. So that, and they're going to wear their uniform will become that of the Kohen Gadol, the H Niknas Klif Nevu Lifnim. When the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim. That's Yechezkel's vision. That the Kohanim in the future will have a little bit more of this Kedusha. And so as Rav Lichtenstein puts it, Shikimo Shel Davar. So to sum it up, Yechezkel mitnave al Shidrug. Anybody else know what that word was? I had to look this up. Shidrug is modern Hebrew for an upgrade. The shifa form of darga, like a level. We've upgraded our Zoom to Zoom Pro. Kohanim are now Kohanim Pro. Yechezkel has a vision of the upgrade of the Kohanim, the Kohanim Hedyota, from simple Kohanim, the Mamad Hakarov Lakuna Gedola. They will all be cut to the point where they're closer to being the Kohen Gadol. Kudazu. And in this point, Hatzatosha Malbim, this hypothesis of the Malbim, Nirate, I could look, I can find this word too, Mishachnat.
Convincing?
Convincing, yes.
Never Persuasive.
Persuasive, yes. He is convinced of all the ways of understanding Yechezkel. That's what Yechezkel is telling us, that the future Kohanim will have an increase in Kedusha. And again, not to say that they're literally going to change the halacha, but they have to have the sense of being, having this increased Kedusha, and he quotes the Radak, which has a similar idea. Verse 13, that Yechezkel has all these things that aren't explicitly written in the Torah, that these are new things. That's what this represents. How Torah tells us there's going to be a Tosef Kedusha, there's going to be more Kedusha of the Kohanim in the Beit Midash. in this vision, in this vision of the future. Reluctancy makes the point that, based on what we just said, that Tosefta Kedusha is not for the Kohanim. The Kohanim are holy, have the Kedusha, because of the reflection of the Kedusha of Knesset Yisrael. Yecheskel's whole point is he's trying to comfort the people after the destruction of Beit HaMikdash. They're going into exile. There's no sense of the connection to Hashem anymore. He's saying that they will get back, that all the people will have an upgrade in Kedusha, such that even the Beit HaMikdash will have an upgrade in Kedusha, Kohanim will have an upgrade, Bnei Yisrael will also be upgraded in their Kedusha as well. And that's what Yechezkel's vision is in these last parakim of the Sefer. There's Rav Lichtenstein. Niten can move on. We should, it seems. We're going to go with the way they agree with the Radak. And we'll say that Shetiyet Tosefet Kedusha Latilavo. There will be this increase in Kedusha in the future. Valkain, and therefore, Hadrishut Med HaKohanim. So therefore, what's required of these Kohanim, you Gevahot Yoter. They'll be higher. They'll have to meet a higher standard with this upgrade in Kedusha. Ulam, but. It's not just that we're talking about that's a consequence of some higher holiness in the future, this Acharit HaYamim, what we call Yemot Mashiach, when the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt. This is part of Yechezkel's point, that they're going to get an upgrade. That Yechezkel is trying to console the people after the destruction, levasel Yisrael, and give them the news, give them the pedetel, sheyuchul hitkadesh, that they can become holy again after all this, and even get become higher. They'll reach a level that was even higher than the previous Beit HaMikdash, when it's rebuilt. And to understand this, alinu lahavin et hasafek hamekharsem. Another word I have to figure out.
Karsem means gnawing.
Gnawing, yes. Yes, we have to understand the doubt that was gnawing Belevan, that was gnawing in the hearts of the people, as a consequence of the Khorban. They were faced with having everything that Judaism meant at that point was completely wiped out. And that this doubt that was gnawing in their hearts was, Shema, maybe. Maybe it would never happen. Lachzor, Lachadesh, that they would never get back and renew at the Avat HaNeurim, Sheben Yisrael Avim Shebashamayim. They would never restore that love that was between Bnei Yisrael and their Father in Heaven. Even if they built the building, we're fine with building buildings. That the Shekhinah would never come back. We have that sense of the presence of Hashem. That would never come back. That was the concern. And that's not a small thing, but that's exactly what happened. But the second Beit HaMikdash. Baltishkach, you should never forget, that's exactly the situation. That's the way Chazal demonstrate the difference between the first and the second Beit HaMikdash. That they built the second Beit HaMikdash. And they started the service, they had sacrifices, everything was there. But this sense of the Shekhinah that existed by Rishon, that was never there. That never came back. That's the question that Yechezkel is struggling with. So that's what he's claiming. Again, this is before Bayit Sheni is built. He is saying that this will happen, that you will get to the point where you will return to the Kedusha, and more than that, you'll get higher. Everyone will get an upgrade in their Kedusha. This will come back. And he was trying to give the people the news that the crown returned to its former glory. That they would finally achieve, they would be able to come back, not only come back to Eretz Yisrael, not only build the Beit HaMikdash, but they would return and even get a higher level of connection to Hashem.
So Danny, is the idea that the people who listened to Yecheskel's Nevuah realized the differences and said, oh, it's going to be even more holy, the Kohanim?
I would assume so, for those who got the message. Or at the very least, they would come back and you'd have this holiness there, but they would, that's the Malbim's idea, is that that's the underlying message of what he's saying, is that everything is going to be even more holy. Every single thing that you remember from what was in the old one is going to be even better. The tragedy that never happened.
No.
Right? They come back, they build this Beit HaMikdash. They finally, they get independence, they come back with Zerubbabel and that falls apart. They come back again with Ezra, and that has this little building. They get it, probably get independence in Hanukkah. They reopen the Beit HaMikdash, and they still have a civil war and try to kill each other over and over again. They have this beautiful building under Herod, and the Shekhinah still doesn't come back because they never get to that point. This has to come. We need to, the Beit HaMikdash, second Beit HaMikdash is destroyed because of Sinat Chinah, the lack of relationship between people. And that's got to come before we can restore that relationship with Hashem. And so you have 400 plus years of Beit Sheni where they never make it to the point where Yechezkel is seeing.
Oh, so Yechezkel was prophesying over the second Beit HaMikdash.
I don't think Yechezkel had any idea that he was talking about a third Beit HaMikdash. He's talking at this is the next one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was prophesying over a future Beit HaMikdash, but the Beit HaMikdash that he was prophesying over never came to be.
But it could have been. You're saying it could have been.
That's my argument. That it could have been.
It could have been the ultimate Beit HaMikdash.
Right. Right. And so that's what I have to feel it now. Is that when we talk about rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash, that we're going to have a Beit HaMikdash where that can be rebuilt, and we can fulfill that original goal before Keda Egel, before everything fell apart in the rest of Tanakh, about becoming a Mamlecha Kohanim B'Goy Kadosh. Because we're all supposed to be Mamlecha Kohanim. We're all supposed to have that status of being Kohanim. And that's what we're asking for. We're talking about what we want when we want Mashiach to come, we want the Beit HaMikdash to be built. We want to get to that point of fulfilling this Nevuah of Yechezkel.
Okay.
Any questions?
Where was this article from Rav Moshe Lichtenstein?
If you actually go to the website, it is actually we're gonna have it over here.
That's the Hebrew BBM.
Yeah. Where am I not looking on here? I'm gonna go. I'll give it back to you.
It doesn't say in the Torah that she has to be Bat Yisrael or Zera Yisrael.
You're right. You're right. I think you're actually right. To do a little bit. Prayer about being offensive. I think the argument is from Isha Zona V'Chalala.
I think so.
I think the argument is if we don't know what she did before she converted, that's the problem. Right, so Kohen Gadol explicitly says Me'ama. It has to be Zola Me'a Be'ama. But you're right, the Kohen Gadol does not explicitly say that.
Right.
I think if she converts young, it may be an issue, but let's see.
Danny, I just want to add something. I read a book by Micha Goodman, his doctorate in philosophy. He writes a book on Sefer Devarim, which is Moses instructing the he writes a book on Sefer Devarim, which is Moses instructing the people before they go into the land of Israel. And he said, you look at this thing, basically people call it Mishnah Torah because he's repeating the Torah, but he said you also have to look at what's missing. And he said, a book and a half is used to talk about the Mishkan and everything in it and all that. Yeah. And he said, in Sefer Devarim, all that's changed. Moses only talks about one of the three carbonot. And the only thing he talks about as far as a physical thing for the Mishkan is build an ark to put the Luchot in. He doesn't talk about all the things that went into the Torah in the other books of the Torah.
Right.
He said, basically, he emphasizes, you know, turn how to be, are we holy to the people, to God, but basically he says Moses emphasis is different. The only carbon he talks about is shlemim, which are basically supposed to be shared with people who don't have, and how we take care of the others. And that's how we get holier, not that we focus on a building or a curtain or whatever.
I think it's a great thought. I'm not sure if that's right, because Devarim spends a lot of time on Makom HaShem Yivchar HaShem. It still spends a lot of time on the ritual side of it.
Right, he's not saying that it erases anything, but he's saying the emphasis, that Moses is changing is, like, this is the first book that's written by man, like everybody right. agrees Moses wrote the book, and with God's basically sanction, and it's Moses is trying to instruct the people how, what God really wants from you, what's the most important thing, not that he's erasing any of the commandments or anything. And he said that basically the two prophets that also change things about what will be in the Mishkan is Yirmiyahu and Yehezkel. They're actually following Moses' Sefer Devarim.
I don't know about Yirmiyahu changing anything. Yirmiyahu is most just criticizing everybody about how everything's going to get destroyed.
I'll send you.
I can look at that.
He's got a thing on Tikva where he basically talks about his different ideas that he has about Sefer Devarim, so I can forward that to you.
I can look at it. Okay. I'm going to add for Aaron, you can see this. This is the from the Etzion BBM website. This is his article. Okay, well, have a good Shabbos, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, good job.